Speaking of love, did you know that there is a book in the New Testament that the word love is not found in? It's going to really be a surprise to you who do not already know what I'm talking about, but there is a book in the New Testament, a very prominent book. They're all prominent, of course, but one that you would not think that the word love doesn't occur, not a form of the word, not loved, loves. The book of Acts. The book of Acts. That's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? I have it on pretty good authority. I've read it through a few times, but I didn't read it through every word in preparation for this. But I do know that the word love is not found in the book of Acts. Now, the word love is really a prominent word in Scripture. In fact, we find the word love in the Old Testament 131 times in the New American Standard Translation. In the New Testament, the word love occurs 188 times in the New American Standard Version. I would say that's a pretty prominent word. In fact, you can go through the New Testament and every one of the New Testament books will contain several usages of the word love, except the book of Acts. It's not there, but all of the others have that word coming up again and again and again. And of course, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it was primarily in the teachings of Jesus as he taught about, first of all, God's love for man, and he also taught about man's love for God. And remember, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And a lot of passages just like that. In the words of Jesus, the word love was really there. Not there in Acts. In the book of Romans, it occurs a number of times. Some of the most important, as in most memorable passages that have to do with God's love, Romans 5 verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Several verses in the early portion of the book of Romans refer to God's love, and then the latter part of the book of Romans, most of the discussion is about the responsibility that we have to love. And you could imagine, as Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he had several things to say about the matter of love, and the same for the churches in Galatia and to the folks in Ephesus, who, incidentally, do you remember what the Spirit said to the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation? I have somewhat against you, for you have left your first love. The book of Ephesians has love in it again and again and again. And most of the occurrences are talking about our love for one another and our love for God. On and on we could go. There are a tremendous number of very familiar verses of Scripture that are built around that little four-letter word, love. There's a lot more to it than most of us probably realize. You know where the first time you find love in the Bible? It's an interesting place. It's a verse that all of us are somewhat familiar with. It's surprising, maybe, that the word love does not occur before you get to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2, where God said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. You go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. That's the first time you find the word love in the Bible. Oh, what an occasion that was. And the love that Abraham showed to God in his response there on that day has come to symbolize the love that God had for us and has for us in giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. in the passage that Butch read to us just a few minutes ago from Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 to 40, where Jesus talks about the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, or some translations say strength, or some say might. Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And then he said, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said in verse 40, on these two commandments depend the law and the prophets. Some translations say, on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Now, the law and the prophets was a way of expressing pretty much the entirety of the Old Testament. Everything that we understand as the Old Testament. Primarily, the law was the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And of course, the prophets were those writings that were directed toward God's people, telling them what to do and how to do and begging with them to come back to God when they had forsaken God. And so it came to be a term that summed up all of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And Jesus says, on these two commandments hinge or hang all the law and the prophets. You might get the impression that love in the New Testament is a preeminent subject, and that in the Old Testament it was less so. Well, it was less prominently mentioned in the Old Testament, that's for sure. But it's no less important because of what Jesus quoted there when he told that scribe what was the first and second commandment. The first commandment has to do with our love for God with all of our heart, soul, strength. The second, our neighbor as ourselves. There is no way, we know this now because we've read and studied the New Testament, especially what John writes in 1 John chapter 4, there is no way that you can do that first part unless you're doing the second part. There's no way that you can love God the way that God wants to be loved if you don't love your neighbor as yourself. There's no way you can love your neighbor as yourself because without the right relationship with God, you don't possess the ability to love your neighbor as you should. And so in that way and in other ways, there's no doubt that what Jesus was saying was everything, even about the Old Testament, hinged on love and the importance of our love. This morning, I want us to talk a little bit more about love. Mike's been doing a great job on Wednesday night, and as you may have noticed from Derek's prayer, there have been a lot of things said about love around here, at least for the last couple of weeks, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's a tribute to our teachers and those who stand before us. We also have this month as our personal study theme, pressing on in greater love. You know, that's a reflection of what Paul told the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10. He says, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you. In other words, when it comes to brotherly love, I don't even have to say anything. You're doing such a good job of it. He says, for you are taught of God to love one another. For indeed, verse 10 says, indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. Good enough, right? Let's move on. No, Paul says, but you're doing such a great job with your brotherly love. And it's something that comes natural to you because you're Christians, and brotherly love is a natural feature of Christianity. He says, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. In other words, you folks in Thessalonica are doing such a great job. but we urge you to do better. And so we want to do better too. And so let's see what we can learn about love, and especially in this lesson that I have entitled, What's Love Got to Do With It? Now, before you go off the rockers after Tina Turner and that song that was published in 1983 and then used later in 1994 as the theme song for the movie that was a biography of her life, When I found the slide and kind of concocted the title in my mind, and then I got to think, that's kind of familiar. And so I looked it up, and the more I looked into that song and the singer, What's Love Got to Do With It, the more I began to question, this may not be the best idea for a sermon title I've ever had, but I'm going to stick with it because the original thought that I had is the basis of what we're going to study this morning, because I think for a lot of people, that's a valid question. What's love got to do with it? Why is love, why do you say love is such an important thing? Oh, if you would only slow down and take a look at what God's Word says about how love is a part of everything that God wants us to do. So before we go into that question specifically, let's take a couple of minutes here at the very beginning and let's sort out some of the terminology for biblical love. Because you've probably heard that there are different words in the scriptures that are translated into the one English word love. And so let's start with the Old Testament, which was written in the Hebrew language. The word in the Hebrew language for love is the word ahab. And basically, it's the only word that's used for that term that's translated into English, love. In the New Testament, it's a different situation. There are more than one word. There are several words that are translated into the English word love. But the Old Testament uses one word all the way through. It uses that same word for God's love for man. It uses that word to describe God's love for various things such as justice and mercy. It uses that same word when it talks about man's love for God, man's love for his son, such as the love that Abraham had for his son Isaac, Genesis 22, verse 2. Same word is used in the Hebrew Old Testament for that word. It's the same word that it uses to describe a man's love for his wife, a servant for his master, and on we could go. All of these different facets and types of love are described by that, or are given by that one word in the Hebrew language. Now, as I said, in the Greek language, it's a little bit different. There are two primary words in the New Testament, and they have different meanings. First of all, there is the word agape love. Agape love is at its very highest an expression of the deep and constant action of a perfect being toward entirely unworthy subjects. Now let me say that again. Agape love at its very highest expresses the deep and constant affection, love, of a being, God, toward entirely unworthy subjects, that's you and me. The very pinnacle of agape love is God's love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. This love is also used in the New Testament. This word for love, agape, is also used to describe the love that you and I as Christians have for our Heavenly Father. Also describes or talks about the love that we are to have for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, for every aspect and concept of the Godhead, it's the same word that's used to talk about our love that we're to have for the church. It's the same word that's used to talk about our fellow men in general as the recipients of our love. The agape love is the kind of love that we are to have for all mankind. Then there's a second word in the New Testament that describes love, that's translated love into the English language, and it is the word phileo. Phileo is a specific kind of love, and it generally means tender affection. It refers to the love that is shared by Christians for each other. The word brotherly love, as it occurs in the New Testament, the term brotherly love, comes from that word phileo. Agape love, God's love for us, our love for God, our love for our fellow man in general. Phileo love, our love for one another, fraternally as all members of the body of Jesus Christ. We're going to discuss that a little bit more tonight in greater detail as we look at Jesus' second commandment that he gives to that scribe in Matthew chapter 22. But I'm not trying to make a Greek or Hebrew scholar out of us, but I thought it might be good to clear up any confusion that exists. Let's talk for just a minute about that new commandment. The new commandment. In W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, he says that agape love is the characteristic word of Christianity. He says there are a couple of reasons why he would say something like that, that agape is the characteristic word of Christianity. One of the things that he says is that it expresses ideas that were previously unknown. This kind of love is not a love that was mentioned in uninspired literature. It's not a topic of discussion that came up in secular historical times pertaining to something other than spiritual matters. And so in that sense, you could say that agape love certainly does express ideas previously unknown. And I believe that that's what Jesus was referring to when he said in John 13, 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have this love one for another." This new commandment, love as I have loved, wouldn't have made sense if anybody had talked about it in Old Testament times, because they hadn't seen the fulfillment of God's promise of the Messiah. They couldn't get a view in real time of that kind of love. This was a new kind of love. This was a new commandment. In fact, if we turn to the book of 1 John, you'll notice, turn with me there to 1 John chapter 2. Notice, first of all, verses 7 and 8. He says, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning." Now, it's important for us to understand the word "new" there, because when he says no new commandment, what he means is, I'm not writing to you something right now that's new that you've never heard before. He says, the commandment you've had from the beginning. What's the beginning that he's talking about? If you go back to chapter 1 and read it, you'll see he talks about the beginning. And he's talking about when Jesus began his earthly ministry. And so he says, this is not a new commandment right now, but it's the commandment that you've had from the beginning of the Lord's ministry. Love one another as I've loved you. He goes on, he says, the old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. In other words, the progress of Christianity is coming through the world, and people are seeing this new commandment illustrated. So still, we've got to believe that this new commandment is the love, the agape love that Jesus says we're to have for one another. Now, turn over to chapter 3 and look at what John says in verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. There's that new commandment again, that you love one another as I have loved you. It's mentioned one other time in chapter 4. Look at verse 21. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is that new commandment. It's this new commandment that's all about Jesus and his remarkable sacrifice that John talks about in John chapter 3, verse 16. If you look back at John chapter 3, you'll see that this comes up in the discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus. And Jesus has just told Nicodemus about the new birth, must be born of the water and the Spirit. Then he goes on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This set the terms, the standard for the new commandment, the amount of love that Jesus has for us, that God has for us, that his Son would die. That's the new commandment, love like that. Love one another in that way. Now, as we conclude this morning, let's turn our attention for just a few minutes away from God's love for us that's reflected there in John 3:16. And let's turn our attention to the love that we are to have. Well, what's love got to do with it? Just suppose that some mighty and mysterious hand could sweep through the New Testament and somehow wipe away every single reference to Christian love. What do you think would be left? I believe a lot of people would say, well, you know, love's important, there's no doubt about it, but there's a whole lot in there besides love. Let me share something with you. I wonder if we've really realized everything that love is a part of for the Christian. Just consider, as 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14 says, and it's a perfect illustration of what we're talking about, let all that you do be done in love. Now, that sounds like one of those catch-alls, you know. Well, that covers everything. If anything's been left out, let all that you do be done in love. Oh, there's a whole lot that's specifically told us in the New Testament. Just pay attention to what Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 19 says. Talks about the fact that we are rooted and grounded in love, and the result of that is a greater spiritual strength and understanding, rooted and grounded in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 instructs us that we are to bear with one another in love. In chapter 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Verse 16, the whole building or structure, utilizing that which every member supplies, builds itself up in love. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, we are told to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25 and going through verse 33, there are four times there that husbands are commanded by God to love their wives. Ephesians chapter 5 is all about the love of a family. Have you kept count of how many passages just in the book of Ephesians talk about the fact that love is to be a part of everything that we... It goes on. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 talks about Christians having their hearts knitted together in love. Colossians 3, verse 14, after giving a list of very vital things that we should take into or put on in our lives, Paul says in verse 14, and above all these, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, writing to people who are a little bit confused about some of the Jewish ritual, especially about circumcision, he says, for in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith, oh yeah, that's good faith, but faith which works by love. There it is. Every time you turn around, love is mingled into every single thing we are to do. Galatians 5, verse 13, through love, serve one another. I skipped over 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great chapter on love. 21, if I count correctly, 21 different features of agape love are given there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the 13 verses of that chapter. And you get down to the very last verse of the chapter, verse 13, and now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And oh, 1 John. 1 John, let me tell you about 1 John. 1 John's got four chapters, 104 verses. 104 verses in that little letter. And the word love occurs 40 times in 104 verses. That's every 2.6 verses you find the word love in there. It talks about God's love 14 times. It talks about man's love 26 times. Verse 8, I guess, of chapter 4 is probably the best summary that we have of the whole book. It says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now I realize I've poured a lot of information out onto you here in just the last few minutes of this discussion. But in a sense, I'm hoping that by being almost overwhelmed by the amount of information the Bible gives us regarding the connection of love, agape love, with everything that we do, perhaps we'll begin to see even more clearly how this great subject is so important. As I said, tonight we're going to talk about, Lord willing, we'll talk about love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to suggest to you there are some things there that maybe we hadn't thought about that would really do us good to give some consideration to. So be sure and come back and be a part of that tonight. Are you a child of God? We've seen just in the last few minutes this morning what a tremendous love God has for each of us. We've also seen how that when we begin to serve God, love takes top priority. We've also seen how that there is no service to God without loving, heartfelt obedience. The fact that Jesus died for our sins, He provided the sacrifice that pays the price, that our receiving salvation is dependent upon our response to God's offer of grace through His love. Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Him, to be buried with Him in baptism, rising to walk in newness of life. We're very anxious to assist you in doing that if you haven't already done so. If you have done so, but love hasn't taken top priority, the love that you should have for God and exhibit in your relationship to Him, the love that you should have for your brothers and sisters in Christ, the love that you should have for fellow men in general. Let's get that straightened out. We've seen this morning how important it can be. Nothing else will work. This is God's plan. If you're subject to the Master's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.